Ramsey TV.
You may think that the title of today's show is anticlimactic in comparison with yesterday's show, Satan is Yours, but not really. The title of today's show, The Earth is Yours. I thought yesterday was Thursday, but it was Wednesday, but I called it Wednesday, Thursday. Today is Thursday. I'm tempted to call it Wednesday, but welcome to Thursday. This is MZTV. I'm Martin Sender. I'd like to begin by thanking all of you who contribute to this work. When you help me, you help the work. And so I am forever grateful to you. As you know, no one is compelled to contribute anything. I'm approaching 3 million views, 3 million total views since I started publishing videos on YouTube back in 2008. And so the word is getting out. That's what that means. And it's because of you. So I thank all of you who contribute. It's never a compulsion. As you know, I never beg for money. If I did, that would be the end of this whole thing. That would be the end of it, because this is a God thing. It's a miracle every month. It has been from the beginning. And so I'm not about to sabotage whatever God's doing, and he's doing great things. I'm not going to sabotage that ever by compelling anyone to support the work or to give money. I simply give people the opportunity to do it if they want to. And if you want to, there's a link down here under this video. If there's several ways you can contribute. And again, you're basically contributing to help keep me going, which in turn keeps the work going. So I know those of you who are fellow laborers with me, fellow workers with me, and who are generously giving to this work, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of the peninsula. Speaking of the peninsula, my heart goes out to our brothers and sisters on the west coast of Florida. Yesterday, Hurricane Ian hit the west coast of Florida. We were spared here on the east coast, but our fellow believer, Caitlin, in Fort Myers, actually, she was staying with her mom in Cape Coral, was under a foot of water in their home, the last I heard. But since then, the power has been shut off. I haven't heard since. We have another believer, Frank, who is in Lehigh Acres, very close to Fort Myers. I tried to call him yesterday, couldn't get through. We also have believers in Englewood, and my heart goes out to them, and I'll be informing you of any news there. But so I was going to talk today concerning the earth being ours. And again, it goes back to the amazing verse. If I can read that again, it's a whole new revelation to me. 1 Corinthians 3:23, all is yours, yet you are Christ's, yet Christ is God's. All is yours. That's the shock. All is yours, with only two exceptions. That's the word yet, and that is Christ and God. They are not ours, but we are theirs. But everything else besides Christ and God is ours. Everything else. And that includes the earth. And let me read a well-known psalm, verse from the Psalms, that is Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. The King James says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Well, if it's the Lord's, and Lord could pertain to either Christ or God, depending on the context. It's a generic word that means master. If it's his, then it's ours, because he has given everything to Christ. God has given everything to Christ. And Christ, remarkably, has given everything to his body, to us. Thus, all is yours. And I mentioned yesterday all the natural disasters that happen on this planet daily, and they're they're going to be increasing as we see the final months of Millennium 6 run their course. It's hard to say it now because of those who are suffering, those are of faith who are suffering on the west coast of Florida. It's hard to say to them at this time that Hurricane Ian is yours. But I must be consistent and say that, I mean, easy for me to say because I'm not swimming through my living room. But I have to stick with the facts here, and that is that that disaster for you, members of the body of Christ, ends up somehow serving you. It doesn't engulf you, you engulf it. I know that's, again, easy to say when you're not swimming through your living room, but yet those are the facts. And I hope that those who are suffering that calamity will see it in time as a servant, as something God brought that will, well, as we are promised, all things work together for good. And so as you suffer upon this planet, know that this planet is God's, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And part of the fullness ties in with the title of my show yesterday, Satan is Yours. Part of the fullness is that Satan is now the prince of the power of the air. But of course, he has a master, and that is Christ and God. And so everything he does subserves God's greater purpose. Satan is a necessary enemy. And exhibit A of how everything Satan does turns out working for your good and for the good of God's plan is the crucifixion of Christ. Satan thought he was doing away with the plan. Satan thought he was killing the plan by killing the Christ. What did he end up doing? Bringing salvation to the world. So everything works against him, no matter what. Because that's exhibit A. That's the greatest thing he accomplished. And the greatest thing he accomplished ends up being the greatest thing God ever accomplished. Even though it was an evil, terrible evil, it was a necessary evil for the salvation of the world. So there you go. Anything lesser does the same thing. The principle is the same. Satan is continuously frustrated because nothing he does not subserve a greater purpose, and that is to bring you necessary trials. But this is all passing away. You see, this is temporary. It's all going to run its course. The earth is tottering like a drunk person, and it's waxing old. God is going to remake the religion and politics of this world and bring in his own religion and politics, his own temple, his own throne, displacing the world's religion and politics. But a startling part of this passage that I read you from the Psalms is that the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. The world, that is the system operates, although it's broken, it operates on our behalf. The earth is the Lord's, all it contains, and those who dwell in it. The people, who sometimes drive us crazy. I mean, I go to the gym here, LA Fitness, and I'm so not in tune with any of the people there. They're like space aliens to me. I don't know why. I don't like any of them. But they did nothing to me. I go there to try to stay strong, to try to stay healthy so that I can continue to do this work at the top of my capacity, but I'm just so not among them. I'm in them, but not of them. I'm with them, but not of them. And it's a strange feeling. It's uncomfortable. And I doubt myself about why I dislike them so much. They're just people trying to get along. I mean, on a deeper level, I love them. I love them because they're God's creation, but I'm just not marching in step with any of them. And yet, they are part of those who dwell on the earth. and so they are part of what is mine. They are mine. In what way are they mine? In what way are all the inhabitants of the world yours? We know the fullness of the world. Everything operates because of you. All the people are doing what they do because of you. Because, as I have to remind you, God, Christ, us, all is ours. All is ours because we are Christ's and Christ is God's. And so now I bring you a familiar passage. Maybe it's not familiar to some of my new viewers, but in 2 Thessalonians, let me give you the backdrop first. The Thessalonians at the time were enduring trials for their faith to the point that they thought the day of the Lord was here. They thought the tribulation had already started because they were suffering such fiery trials. Paul starts chapter 2. It might be helpful to read that. Now, we are asking you, brethren, for the sake of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to him, he's referencing the snatching away there, that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be alarmed either through spirit or through word or through an epistle as through us. In other words, somebody is writing a false epistle with our name on it, with my name on it, says Paul. As that the day of the Lord is present. Paul says, no, the day of the Lord is not present. The day of the Lord, in this case, meaning the tribulation. It's true that the thousand years is also called the day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord begins with the tribulation. No one should be deluding you by any method. For should not the apostasy be coming first and the man of lawlessness be unveiled? So the topic here is the man of lawlessness. That is the Antichrist. The son of destruction, who is opposing and lifting himself up over everyone termed a god or object of veneration, so that he is seated in the temple of God, demonstrating that he himself is God. Do you not remember that still being with you, I told you these things? And here's the money verse, verse 6. And now you are aware what is detaining, in other words, what is stopping him, what is keeping him from being unveiled in his own era. For the secret of lawlessness is already operating. Only when the present detainer, Paul uses the word again, detain, only when the present detainer may be coming out of the midst. And what did he just reference up in verse 2? Up in verse 1, our assembling to him, to Christ. It is our assembling to Christ, that is the snatching away, that is now detaining the man of lawlessness being unveiled. Paul says, verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 2, only when the present detainer may be coming to be out of the midst, then will be unveiled the lawless one. So this begins, this section begins with Paul assuring the Thessalonians, I know you're going through it right now, but it is not the day of the Lord yet. And they might answer, well, how do you know? Well, Paul says, Remember, I told you that the tribulation cannot start until the man of lawlessness is unveiled. So this is a series of dominoes, things that must happen. Necessary preceding events. Paul says the tribulation can't happen, i.e. the day of the Lord can't happen until the man of lawlessness is unveiled. And the man of lawlessness can't be unveiled until we assemble to him. Until the snatching away. The snatching away happens before the man of lawlessness is unveiled, before the tribulation can begin. And I'm not done there. Wait to see what I'm going to do after this. All right. On this show, before I'm done. Wait for it. But listen to this. The day of the Lord is not here, basically because we're still here. If we're still here, the day of the Lord is not present. The day of the Lord can't be present until the man of lawlessness is unveiled. And you are detaining him. And so our presence upon the earth, and this still applies today, what Paul's telling the Thessalonians, he could be telling us, he is telling us, because we are still in the era of the nations where the man of lawlessness has yet to be unveiled. He's alive, but this unveiling, and there's arguments as to what that unveiling means. And it's not my purpose to talk about that aspect of it. But the aspect I want to talk to you about is that the earth is yours and all the inhabitants. In other words, the reason people are living their everyday lives, eating and drinking, marrying, as they did in the days of Noah, the reason the flood, I'm corresponding this to the days of Noah, as our Lord did, the reason the flood, that is the tribulation, has not started yet is because we're still on this earth. Everybody on this planet owes another normal day to the fact that we are still here. We don't get any credit for this. Oh, no. It's another normal day because we're still here. We are detaining. We are the only thing. This is how precious we are, how important we are to God in Christ. We are ambassadors of peace. In the tribulation, God is going to declare war on the world, a temporary war to shake them up so that they learn righteousness. When his judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the earth learn righteousness. That's going to happen. We are now keeping that from happening. But God will withdraw his ambassadors. We're ambassadors of the conciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The conciliation of the world, we're ambassadors of peace. Conciliation meaning peace. When God declares war on the world, he will withdraw his ambassadors. Any sane country does that. Before they declare war on another nation, they withdraw their ambassadors from that nation. God will withdraw us before he declares war. We're that important to him. And though the inhabitants of the earth and the fullness thereof, though the inhabitants of the earth don't know it, we are keeping this thing from happening. That's why I say the earth is yours and the inhabitants of the earth are yours. Romans 8 again, all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. So all creation includes the animal kingdom. They are also awaiting our unveiling. And even the earth, those people at LA Fitness, they're groaning, literally groaning because they're doing bench presses and bicep curls. They're groaning also in their spirits. They don't know why. There's a disquietness in the world. Men everywhere and women live lives of quiet desperation. How are you doing today? Fine. No, nobody's doing fine. How are you doing? Fine. How's it going? Good. No, nobody's doing good. Nobody. There's a desperation, unspoken, even unknown to the consciousness of many of these people, that they can't explain it. I can explain it. They're groaning within themselves for the manifestation of the sons of God, even though they don't recognize us. And if we told them about it, they would spit in our face, either literally or metaphorically. Who do you people think you are? No, it's not who we think we are. It's who Christ says we are. All is yours, yet you are Christ and Christ is God's. It's God, Christ, and us. That's it. Everything else is following in the train of God, Christ, and us. Everything else. This system is surviving another day because we have not yet been snatched away. It's the next great event on God's Aeonian calendar, our snatching away. Now, here's the shock. If we indeed are the detainer, we're keeping the man of lawlessness from being unveiled, which keeps the tribulation from being unveiled. What happens after the tribulation? The 1,000-year kingdom. And so by extrapolation here, we are also detaining the 1,000-year kingdom. The great era of blessing, 1,000 years on this earth where the whole entire earth becomes as the Garden of Eden. We're keeping that from happening because we're keeping the day of the Lord from happening because we're keeping the manifestation of the unveiling of the man of lawlessness from happening. What happens after the 1,000-year kingdom, the new heavens and the new earth? We're also keeping that from happening. Why? Because that can't happen, the new heavens and the new earth, until the kingdom runs its course. But that can't happen until the tribulation starts. That can't happen until the man of lawlessness is unveiled. And that can't happen until we're snatched away. What happens after the new heavens and the new earth? The consummation, when God becomes all in all. We're keeping that from happening. And I could go through the whole train again, but I'm not going to do it. The dominoes, starting with our presence on this earth, we're holding up everything. That's how important we are. Well, that's the order of things inspired by Paul, 1 Corinthians 3:23. All is yours. And now I'm bringing it to you how all-encompassing that is and what it actually means practically for the inhabitants of the earth, including the animal life. And some of the workers, some of the people working out at LA Fitness, I would include in animal life, actually. It all belongs to you. They don't know how much, just how much they belong to you. They don't know just how much. Why are they groaning? For you. I can't make this up. Romans 8, all creation's groaning for the manifestation, the unveiling of the sons of God. At which time, everything starts. At which time, the evil eons become the good eons. That's what this tribulation is going to mean. The tribulation, the seven-year period that precedes the 1,000-year kingdom, marking the birth pangs, this is the fulcrum point. This is the pivot point where God is going from the three wicked eons to the two good eons. To God be the glory for the eons of the eons. The two coming eons will see God get glory that he has not gotten in the first three eons. In the first three eons, God hides himself. He's disparaged by those on the earth. Satan has arranged the earth into great religions that actually oppose God while pretending to champion him. Everything's topsy-turvy. It's not going to be that way for much longer. The whole thing's going to be reversed. The last will become first. The first will become last. But that's how important your presence is to the inhabitants of this world, though they know it not. But the world is yours and the fullness thereof. The system itself is yours. The earth is yours. The system upon the earth is yours. That is the way things are run. And the inhabitants of the earth are also yours. Yet you are Christ. Christ is God's. And it pleases God in Christ to put us in this important position. And soon, everybody's going to know it.